Congratulations. You've made it. You've finished 12, 13 years of school. Good job. Congratulations. Excellent. Well done. Finished. All that. Good. Great. Fantastic. Now what? Is the question we're going to be asking as we look at the Bible and as we think about some of these things this week. Because my guess is you've done all your exams. Most of you finished about a month ago almost by now. And my guess is that within the next month, the freedom that you feel like you now have, the relief, the satisfaction, the accomplishment, the completion, all of that will start to fade away a little bit. And you'll be thinking, well, what now? What next? Now what? Where am I going? What am I doing? Why am I here? They're the questions that I think everyone asks when they finish year 12. Now what? What's next? And that's the question we're going to ask as we look at the Bible. We're particularly going to be looking at Ephesians, but we'll look at some other things as well. Let me be straight with you from the beginning. You've all now graduated from school. Good on you. You've all now graduated from youth group. Great. The aim of this series, and I guess the aim of what we do in the small time we spend in the Bible on this week away, is to not graduate from Jesus. You got that? Don't graduate from Jesus. Don't be so stupid to graduate from Jesus. Yes, you finished school. Good work. Yes, you finished youth group. Good on you. But do not graduate from Jesus. And that's our aim as we ask this question, now what? What next? Where am I going? Why do I exist? Because the statistics, which it's hard to... I've got ants all over me. There we go. The statistics. Basically, they say, and I think this is probably the case. I've talked to Nikki, talked to Scott a little bit about this. The case with youth groups all over the place, even good youth groups, is that in the first year out of youth group, about 1 in 10 people who claim to be Christian and even looked like they were Christian, stop claiming to be Christian. Stop really living the Christian life. They start chasing other things, they start chasing other gods, they start chasing the worship of themselves, whatever it might be. So that's within the first year out of school. A year ago, you're on camps, you're on study camps, you're on getaways, you're on all sorts of things like that. You're learning about Jesus, you're singing about Jesus, you're excited about Jesus. But then within a year, something like 1 in 10 people no longer claim to be a Christian. Within 5 years, something like 2 in 10, 1 in 5, 20% of people, does that work? The maths work? Yeah? That maths works, good. No longer claim to be Christian. What happens between those years that people who were once on fire for Jesus, we're not just talking about the person who turns up to youth group who has never really claimed to be Christian, who has never really claimed to follow Jesus, we're talking about people who claim to be Christian. Even they, within a few years, some of you may well no longer claim to be Christian. If you've got four or five people in your room, it might be one of you in that room, statistically. Your whole room might still be Christian in 5 years and another whole room may not be Christian. That might be the statistical group that are no longer claiming to be Christian. But the reason why when you graduate from youth group, it's a significant year, the first year out of school. I think for me personally, it was the year of the most significant spiritual growth. I've claimed to be a Christian the whole way through my life. I grew up in a Christian family. In year 12, I started going to a good church that taught the Bible, that pointed me to Jesus, that helped me to understand the gospel impacts every area of my life. And year 12, as I finished year 12, as I went into year 13, as I had my first year out, that is the year I grew the most. And my guess is if you talk to lots of your leaders, as mature as they may have been while they're at school, that is a huge year. It's a make or break year. And my guess is also you could talk to your leaders and they may have friends, and I can tell you a whole bunch of people that first year out of school was the make or break year for them. It wasn't the make, it was the break year. That first year out of school was when they threw in the towel on Jesus. But I want you to think bigger than just the next 1 year or the next 5 years, but the next 10, 15, 20, 30, eternity. I love that t-shirt that says Bible Study Group 06 to eternity. That is what your aim should be, is to keep following Jesus, is to keep worshipping Jesus, not for the few years that you're in a group or at a particular church, but forever, between now and when you die, or between now and when Jesus returns again. And so the key question, point number two on your outline there, the biggest question you can ask, and you need to ask it now that you've finished school, is why? Why do I exist? Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? You see, my guess is, unless you were a super brainiac 5-year-old, you probably didn't ask that question on your way into school. You didn't go, what's the meaning of life? Why do I exist? Why am I here? What's it all about? Why am I doing... You didn't ask those questions. As you're a child, you just sort of do what you're told to do. Often you do what you're told to do. And as you grow up, you start to question things. And I think the biggest time of questioning comes now, because you don't have to go to that institution called school anymore. You may choose to go to other institutions. You may get thrown into some institution called jail or a mental home or whatever it might be. But you get to choose what you're planning on doing, where you're going to be going. And so you need to ask the question, why do I exist? What's the point? Why am I doing this? As you step out into the kindergarten of the rest of your life, now is the time to be thinking through this question. And thinking through, if I'm a Christian, how does that shape how I think about this question? Why do I exist? Now, as you step out, as I'm sure you're already aware, but more so now that you're no longer going to be going back to school in February next year, the rain's getting heavier. Good move on coming inside here. Can everyone's dry up the back there? Good. Okay, so the key question, why do I exist? What is my purpose in life? That's the key question that we're going to be looking at this week. And that's the key question you need to ask now as you embark on the rest of your life. And there's lots of common answers to the question, why do I exist? Why am I here? I'm a bit of a Facebook stalker, and it's been interesting stalking the people I went to school with now over 10 years ago. And Facebook tells me that those friends that I went to school with, what do they think the purpose of life is? Facebook tells me that the purpose of life for them now... Is everyone dry? Do you guys need to move a bit more? Yeah? All good? Okay, for those friends of mine, their purpose in life, as I read their status updates, as I look at their pictures, is to go to the next concert, is to go to the next gig, is to go to the next festival, is to get drunk at the next party, and that is what they're still doing. That is how many of their lives are shaped by those pursuits, by those ends. As you hang out on a building site, because maybe that might be what you do for the next 30 years, whatever capacity that might well be in, on the building site, one of the purposes of life that you see amongst the banter with the guys on the building site is that life is all about sex. Life is all about sex. They whistle at the women as they walk past. They talk about chicks and their latest conquest. They have pornography on the toilet walls. They have it on their phones. They have it everywhere. That is the world view. That is the meaning of life for lots of the guys that are working with that in that industry. Maybe you're planning on going to university. If you do arts or humanities, to the question, why do I exist? There's lots of postmodern type of thinking which says, look, there is no God, and therefore there is no meaning. There is no overarching purpose in life because there's no creator. There is no meaning, there is no purpose. You will learn that at uni. You will have lecturers say that is how you are to think. That is how you are to feel. Maybe you're going to do some economics or accounting or commerce, or maybe even work in retail. I think it's part of that type of sphere. And what does that world tell us? What's the meaning of life?
Money,
wealth, accumulation of it, storing it, spending it. That is what life is all about. That is what that faculty at university or that retail outlet will be teaching you about life. Maybe if you're going to go to university, you might see that there's a whole bunch of clubs and societies and political groups. And do you know what they're going to teach you about the meaning to life? Some of them will teach you that the meaning to life is hugging trees and getting politically active by hugging trees and lying in front of bulldozers and thinking certain things about politics and life. The other half will just give you plenty of opportunities to vomit on trees as you go to their club meetings week by week and get blotto. The final one, if you do something in the sciences, science says, the worldview of science is that things happen. You can observe things that happen. You can work out how stuff works. But there's no why. there might be meaning and purpose in little things, but there's no overarching purpose in life. You know what? There's so many places that we can find different answers to the question, why do I exist? What's the meaning? What's the purpose of life? You can guess. You can experiment. You can just try all sorts of things. You can listen to all sorts of philosophies, all sorts of worldviews. But the place to answer the question is God. The place to answer the question of why do I exist is God. We go to God to work out this answer. Why do we do that? Because He made us. God made us, and He made us with a purpose. He made us for a reason. And so we ask Him. He ultimately is the one who gives us purpose. You can spend your life doing a whole bunch of different things, but that's not why you were necessarily made. Or you can live a life on purpose and live how your Creator intended you to be made. I've got a pen in my pocket, and pens can be used for all sorts of things. I don't know about many of the boys here, but I used to like at school with pens, you take the top and the bottom off and spit paper through, spitballs. That's a pretty cool thing you can do with a pen. You can also use pens as a weapon. I think, was it the latest Batman? Does the Joker use a pen as a weapon? Yeah. Bang, was it a pen?
A pencil.
So you could use a pen to do the same type of thing. You can use a pen for all sorts of things. You could use it to play tennis, not particularly effectively, or cricket, or javelin, probably not very far. You can do all sorts of things with a pen, but why was it made? To write stuff. Yeah, you can do all sorts of stuff with your life, but they weren't the reason why you were made. Just like you can do all sorts of stuff with a pen, but the reason why it was made was to write. The reason why you exist is not to please yourself, but ultimately it's to please God. And so we're gonna look at a bunch of passages in the Bible over the next few days, but particularly we're gonna spend most of our time in Ephesians in thinking about the question, what is God's purpose for my life? And a third thing on your outline there is we need to see that things are much bigger than we realize, and we need to see that it's all about Jesus. Our purpose, our meaning, the reason why you exist is all about Jesus. That is why we exist. We were made to not please ourselves, not please someone else, not please our friends, not please our parents. We were made to please Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says that all things were made by Jesus and for Jesus. He's our Creator, and we were made for Him. And so our response to Jesus is that we worship Him, is that we glorify Him, is that we give Him honor, is that we give Him praise, is that we magnify Him, is that we live for Him. That is our purpose. That is the reason why we exist, is to worship Jesus. And so in Ephesians, here's sort of an overview of Ephesians, you actually see in Ephesians that God is at work doing big things to bring everything under Jesus, under the headship of Jesus. In Ephesians, you see that God is at work bringing everything under the headship of Jesus, and it's all for His glory, for the praise of God's glory. For His glory, for His honor. That is what God is at work in the world doing. Bringing everything under Jesus. You're already wet. All good? I've got to keep moving in too. How about that? Grab your Bibles out. Have a look at Ephesians chapter 1. Have a look at Ephesians chapter 1. Verse number 9. Here's what it says. It says, "And God made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put in effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ." What God is on about in the world is bringing everything under the headship of Jesus. Everything brought underneath Him. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 11. Have a quick look at it. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 11. Verse 10. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is God on about? Chapter 1 verse 10, chapter 3 verse 11, bringing everything together under Jesus. This is a big plan. This is a big thing that's going on that Ephesians and the Bible enable us to see. That life is ultimately all about Jesus. It's all about Him. That's where everything is heading. Everything one day will be brought under His headship. And it's all to the glory of God. Have a look at chapter 1, verse 6. Chapter 1, verse 6. Verse 5. He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He's freely given us in the one He loves. To the praise of His glorious grace. Have a look at it again, chapter 1, verse 12. In order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. Have a look at chapter 1, verse 14. Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. What? To the praise of His glory. Have a look at one more. Chapter 3, verse 21. Chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What's God on about in the world? God is on about bringing everything under Jesus. Bringing everything under His head. Bringing everything under His rule. And what is our response? Our response is to give Him the glory He deserves. It's all for the praise of His glorious grace. That we would praise God for what He's done for us in Jesus. And what He will one day do as everything is brought under Jesus. And so what I want you to do, what I want to encourage you to do, what I want you to, even to warn you to do, even to urge you not to be stupid, is that now, before you start trying to find meaning and purpose and why you exist in things other than Jesus, I want to warn you and encourage you to see that it's not worth it. Because ultimately, life is about Jesus. We were made by Him, we were made for Him. It's in Him that we find our purpose. It's in Him that we find our meaning. So don't be so foolish. By all means, read about other philosophies. By all means, understand how the world thinks. But don't ever move away from Jesus. Keep going in Jesus. Keep trusting Jesus. Keep worshipping Jesus. Keep living for Jesus. Keep glorifying Jesus. You see, because the thing is, if you've got Jesus, verse 3 tells us, you've got it all. Have a look at verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. It says, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with what? With every spiritual blessing in Christ. What it means is if you're a Christian, you've got it all now. Don't think that once you go to university and come out the other end, you'll be able to then get it. Or that once you have some traveling experience around the world for the next 40 years or however long you're planning on traveling for, you will then one day at the end of your journey, you will find it. If you've got Jesus, you've got it. You've got everything, every spiritual blessing in Jesus now in the heavenly realms. And so what it means is we don't need to go looking elsewhere. We don't need to look for other things. We don't need to find purpose and meaning in other things because our ultimate purpose and our ultimate meaning is found in Jesus. I'm just going to quickly read through some of the stuff after verse 3. Because it says, we're not going to talk about it for long, but it could be a cool thing to talk about as you go to bed tonight. I don't know. There's some incredible things it says about what we've got in Jesus. Something of what this every spiritual blessing in Jesus is. Have a look at verse 4. For God chose us in Jesus before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. Before God even made the world, He had chosen you. Your trust is in Jesus. If you're a follower of Him, God chose you before the foundation of the world. In love, He predestined us. He has chosen us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. We've been adopted. We who were once not part of a family, we who were once alienated from God, have been brought near and adopted and can now call God Dad. We can now say to God Father, Daddy. We can now say to Him, we've been adopted into His family. That's a huge spiritual blessing that we have in Jesus. Have a look at verse Where are we up to? Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves. Verse 7, in Jesus we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. We have been redeemed. We have been forgiven. That is, we've sinned. We've been slaves to sin, but we've been redeemed from that slavery. We've been rescued from that slavery. We're now forgiven by God. These are huge things that you have now if you are in Jesus. In accordance with the riches of his grace, verse 8, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under the one head, even Christ. Verse 11, in Jesus we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. What's the point? You got it all. You've got God living in you, it says. We have the deposit. God's Spirit lives in us. If you've got Jesus, you've got it all. If you've got Jesus, you don't need to look elsewhere. Ultimate purpose, ultimate meaning is found in him and him alone. Everything else is a dead end. It might provide joy and a bit of pleasure for a little while, but not for a long while, and not for eternity. So can I warn you to not look in other places to try to find purpose and meaning? If you're in Jesus, you've got it now. If you're in Jesus, you've got it all. You don't need anything else. You don't need any other experience. You don't need another job. You don't need another career. You don't need another whatever it is. If you're in Jesus, you've got it all now. And so the question from the start and the question we're asking all week, now what? Now what? You see, if this is all true, and I'm convinced it is, my guess is you're all convinced it is, and my guess is the statistical people who claim to be Christian in high school and look like they're Christian, but then stop claiming to be Christian in first year out, or fifth year out, or 10th year out, or 20th year out, my guess is they believe this stuff to be true. They did at least believe this stuff to be true. And so if this is true, if life is all about Jesus, it changes everything. It changes everything. Every decision you'll make, probably not whether you put your white shoes on or your cream shoes in the morning, or whether you order a Big Mac or a McFeast. The McFeast don't exist anymore, do they? Oh, they do. They're back? Are they back? No, they don't. You guys don't even know what a McFeast is. I used to love the McFeast. A McChicken. Are they exist? Yeah. Those decisions don't really matter. But as far as all the big decisions, as far as all the big things in life, the fact that Jesus and everything has been brought under him, the fact that life is all about him, he made us, he died for us, he was raised again, the fact of all those things means that everything has changed. And so what it means is you need to... This week is a fantastic week. You're going to have heaps of fun and lots of cool things and lots of great experiences. And in years to come, you'll say, hey, remember when? This is going to be a great week. But this could be a pivotal week, in fact, for the rest of your life. And it could be good to just take a step back. You're not worrying about exams that are coming up. You don't have those worries at the moment. Just take a step back. And take a step back and see the forest from the trees. You heard that saying before? You're so caught up with the tree that you can't see the forest. And so the point is, we get so caught up with life and the things that we're doing. My guess is that lots of you were like this with the HSC for the last however many months or however many years as you've built up to it. You've now got the chance to actually stop. Take a step back and take account of things and think about your life and think about where you're going and think about what you're going to do. Think about where you've been. But more than that, what I want you to do is take a step back and have a bigger vision than that. And have a look back to the cross of Jesus. Look back to his death on the cross on your behalf. Look back to his death, which meant we can be adopted, which meant we can be redeemed, which meant we can be forgiven, which meant we can be members of God's family, which meant he has now sent his spirit to live in us. The cross brings all those things. Jesus died and he rose again. Take a step back and look at that. But you also need to take a step back and look ahead. Jesus will return. There is no doubt about it. Jesus will return. He will return in all of his glory. And at that point, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord, whether they want to or not. And so what I want you to do is take a step back and look at the cross, look at Jesus' return, and just look at how little you are in the middle of that. And look at how small your life is in the middle of that, and realize that between the cross and Jesus' return, and in fact, before that and even after that, all of eternity is all about Jesus. And so as you think about where you're going in life, as you think about the trips that you're planning on going on, as you think about the careers, as you think about marriage partners, as you think about all of those things, remember, it's all about Jesus. That is why you exist. You exist for Jesus. You exist to bring him glory. You exist to glorify Jesus. So the question now, what? There's the big idea. If you forget everything else we talk about this week, the big idea is we exist for Jesus. You exist to glorify Jesus. And so do it. Glorify him, honor him, give him praise, live for him and not for yourself. But now what? Well, there's some other things we're going to look at over the next few days, and they all start with G. Okay, so that's a good little memory hook. So today's is glorify. Then we're going to look at gather, grow, give, gospel, gladness. There's where we're heading. We're to seek to glorify Jesus in everything. But if you belong to Jesus, we'll actually gather with him and his people. We'll share in fellowship with one another. That's what we'll be looking at tomorrow. That God's purpose for us is that we gather. But if we belong to Jesus, if we're in Jesus, we'll grow up in him. That's the third G. Grow. So glorify, gather, grow. The fourth one is give. We will give in ministry. We'll give like Jesus gave. We will serve others. We'll lay our lives down for the sake of others. We'll put other people's needs ahead of our own. We will give of ourselves in ministry. Glorify, gather, grow, give. The fifth one, gospel. The gospel is good news. That's what the word gospel means. If you belong to Jesus, if you've understood the gospel, if you've understood his death and resurrection for your sin and for all people's sin, and that people without Jesus are lost, you'll want to share it. You'll want to have your part in promoting it. You want to have your part in proclaiming Jesus. And then the final G that we're going to look at is gladness. And it's sort of, if glorify is the overarching purpose for which we exist and what we're going to talk about, you sort of got, we glorify God, gather, grow, give, gospel. The underarching one is sort of like a big smile. We actually do it gladly. We're to be joyful in the Christian life. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say it again, rejoice. And so as we gather, grow, give, and share the gospel, we don't do it because some idiot on a camp said you got to do it, or because our Bible study leader said you got to do it. We do it joyfully. As we serve Jesus, as we serve other people, we do it with joy and praise and thanksgiving. And so as we close, and before I pray, I reckon there's going to be two main responses to what we're looking at this week. For some of you, it's actually going to be all about continuing. It's going to be all about keep on going. Keep on going in glorifying. Keep on going in gathering, growing, giving, gospeling, gladnessing. Is that a word? You know what I mean. So if you're expecting something new, I'm not going to give you anything new. If you've been a Christian for a while, I hope I'm going to remind you of stuff you already know. But I want to encourage you and urge you to not stop, but to keep going, to keep trusting Jesus, to keep living for Jesus, to keep seeing that life is all about Jesus. But my guess is in a group this size, there might be some here who for the last year or the last few years, you've been a bit distracted, and it might not be about keep on going. Maybe this might be the time you start. From this camp, you might start glorifying, gathering, growing, gospel, giving, gospeling, gladnessing. And so you may become a Christian, or you may just sort of recommit yourself to say, I actually want to live as a Christian for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years or until Jesus returns. two responses. It might be keep on going, or it might be start going. And I pray that it won't be stop or ignore. And just go, who cares? I've got my own life. I belong to me. I'll do whatever I want. And so a question that I want you to ponder is, if someone were to look at your life, what would they think you're living for? If someone else would look at your life, what would they think you're living for? The priorities that you have, the words that come out of your mouth, the things you think, the things you say, that's the words that come out of your mouth, the things you do, your pursuits, your goals, your ambitions. If someone were to look at your life a year ago, today, and in a year, what would they say that you're living for? Is it that, yeah, that's someone that is different. They're living to glorify Jesus. They've got a bigger purpose in life. Or is it someone who's living for something else? Now what? I guess the subtitle of this series is called Don't Waste Your Life. Now what? Don't waste it. Don't throw it away. Keep glorifying, gathering, growing, giving, gospeling, gladnessing. Live for Jesus. You're made by Him. You're made for Him. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. And therefore, knowing that it's all about Jesus, and that all things are going to be brought together under His head in the big picture of eternity, it means that you'll seek, you'd be foolish not to seek, to glorify Him in everything. Everything is to the praise of His glorious grace, is for His worth and His honor. And I'm going to pray to that end now, that God would do that work in us, not just this week, not just within the next couple of weeks of camp, but within the next year, the next 5 years, the next 20 years, and beyond, into eternity. How about you pray with me? If you agree, give us a big amen at the end. Our gracious God, we thank you again that we can gather here in an incredible place. We thank you for this place, and we thank you for the way that we can hang out together and the fun things we can do and the experiences we can have and the memories we can form and the friendships we can solidify and all those things. We praise you for those generous gifts you've given us. But we are so thankful for the gift that you've given us in Jesus. We thank you that it's in Him that we have life. We thank you that it's in Him that we have breath. We thank you that it's in Him that we have everything. And so we pray that you'd help us to glorify Him, that we glorify our King who died for us and was raised again. And I pray that for myself for the next year. I pray that for myself for the next 5 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100, maybe not 100. But I pray that for all of these guys, and we pray that together, that you would enable us to not quit, to not give up, but to keep on going or start going in our Christian life, in living for Jesus, in living for our Maker, in living for our Sustainer, and in living for our Redeemer. So we praise you and pray that you'd help us to keep wrestling with these things. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.